It was 13 o'clock on a typical day when the sky turned blue. Mallory didn't even have to open his eyes to know something was wrong. When the sky turns blue, you can feel it down to your core. The air feels thick around you, harder to breathe than usual. Sounds are muffled and dull. And your stereo hearing gets slapped back down to mono. In short, it feels unreal. For some reason, it had been happening around 13 o'clock more often than not. He wasn't sure why. Maybe it was because he was on break during those hours. A full morning of classes, a full afternoon of plowing fields. He needed this little lunchtime break. It was his time to flop down on the nearest grassy hill, put on his headphones, and listen to the streams over the integrated, but quite low bandwidth and tinny sound, RealNet audio receiver. He could tune out his world, then tune into others.
Mallory Heisenberg.
Over here, Dad. We're running in safety mode again, huh?
Blue sky of death. Third time this week. Third time, Mallory. We really should call in a technician tonight to fix the blasted thing once and for all. Something can't be right if it's crashing this often.
Come on, Dad. They charge an arm and a leg. Why should we pay them through the nose? I can handle it just fine, although if you'd like to cut down on my chores a bit in payment... Yeah, but it was worth a try.
The windmill was quite a ways away, but there wasn't a rush. Safety mode would last at least a day before anything else went wrong. The glossy brochures had said so, complete with language like, money-back guarantee. Mallory knew the way, and walked on past the planting fields, past the farmers, and his classmates at work in the fields, past the classroom building, past the home house, to the tallest structure in the land.
This might take a while.
A while? You're usually done with it pretty quickly.
It varies, Dad. Six of one, half a dozen of another. You should probably go tell the council this can be fixed. They're likely running around like chickens with their heads cut off as usual. I'll join you when I finish, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Mallory sat down and waited a few moments. Picked at some wax that had been building up in his ear lately. Once enough time had passed, he walked up to the complicated piece of reality technology and repaired it via a good swift kick to the metal casing. Reality asserted itself. Faint, stereoscopic sounds could be heard. Colors felt less muted. The air was musty and old. But he was technically in the basement of a windmill.
Better this cheap trick than to worry him with how I really fix the engine each time it crashes.
He walked back up the stairs and headed back to his favorite grassy hillside. Back to the old grind. Things were shaping up to be another typical day in Mallory's life. Classes, relaxation, reality crashes, reality reboots, chores, watching the network, bed. 19 years to date in this loop. Day in, day out. The tried and true, staying the course. He'd read once on the network about how people sailed across worlds with oceans and vehicles built to harness the power of the wind. There would be spots in the middle of an ocean where no wind blew, and the waves were calm. Doldrums, they were called. Places where everything just sort of sits there until you die of boredom and or hunger. With no wind to aid your escape. To carry the metaphor too far, which he had an uncanny habit of doing, even in his own mind, he was hungry for something other than the boredom of this world. And even the perpetual wind which drove the windmill wasn't enough to blow him to new ports of call. He'd need tornado-like winds, winds which tore up trees by the root and dumped them in parts unknown. Unfortunately, tornadoes never popped up on Greenwald, metaphorical or literal. It had been specifically designed to avoid dangerous weather. Even the rain was scheduled. Everything neat and orderly and predictable, day after day. A tornado. Figurative, literal, metaphorical, virtual, what have you, was simply not in the cards. As he pondered such notions, walking along to rejoin his life already in progress, a house fell on him. Unreal Estate, Episode 1, Boy Meets Worlds. For most people, that would have been the end of their life story. Humorous obituaries on tabloid video streams would follow. Boy with hideous luck hit by falling house. Right next to, bizarre creatures from null space impregnated me. Fortunately for Mallory's continued existence, three factors other than his bad luck came into play. 1. Survival instincts, the sort that are coded in the genes and kick in despite having a soft life where the nastiest surprise you have to worry about is whether or not you passed your exam in baking and bread goods 101. These allowed Mallory to hit the ground nice and fast when he noticed a very rectangular, non-cloud-shaped shadow surrounding him. 2. Geographical layout. Specifically, the two lumpy hills to his left and right, which formed a nice valley just deep enough for a human to flop face first into, and were firm enough to support the house's weight without crushing him. In short, Mallory hit the deck and miraculously survived. It did take a few moments for his non-death to register in his brain, of course. Once he had the nerve to open his eyes, he saw Brown. Once he had the nerve to wipe the dust kicked up from the impact off his glasses, he saw light in the narrow crack between the lumpy underside of the house and the ground. Some part of him, which was too stunned to be stunned, pondered how new and interesting the situation was. Because you can never have too much bewildering confusion. Next, Mallory observed a pair of legs stepping down to the ground from what was presumably the front door of the house. 1 foot after the other. Sandal-like shoes of some sort, although not the dirt and animal dung-covered sort he was used to. They looked like something that might very well be fashion to his untrained farmer's boy eye. The stunned, non-stunned part of him also recognized the faint brown tinge of pantyhose, which he had never seen in person, but plenty of times on video streams. As if the legs weren't enough new stimulus to make his brain go pop, the woman who leaned down to peer into the narrow space at him had enough details to make his brain go womp and trickle out his ears in twin gray streams of liquid. Metaphorically, of course. Long brown hair and...
Hello?
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 Haven't I seen you somewhere?
I don't think so. I've never left this reality. Sorry.
You're not dead, right? Or paralyzed from the waist down or something like that?
I don't think so.
So what are you still doing down there? You pinned?
The dirt really did a number on his favorite battered gray Baja sweatshirt, but he wriggled his way out and was standing on his own 2 feet next to her in a matter of moments, which made him feel a bit silly for lying there under the house the whole time. Now that the two of them were upright, Mallory managed a more than narrowly defined view of her. She was about his age, but dressed in a more businessy attire than he had ever seen someone wearing. At least, someone who wasn't on a video stream. It'd make sense, considering the mobile home implied that she was from outside Grunwald, and was staring at him slightly, arms crossed.
You sure you didn't get a concussion? You got this blank, glassy stare thing going on.
Sorry. It's just, there aren't a lot of pretty girls in Grunwald.
Huh. That statement will make you either charmingly innocent or a skirt chaser, then.
Huh? I'm not! What's a skirt chaser?
Charmingly innocent it is. You got a name, impressionable youth? Does this reality have a name? Can I please get a little information now that we've established you have sound mind and body and capable of answering questions?
Oh, sorry, you're in Grunwald, so, is this your house? Why'd you park it here? The dock is a few kilos that way.
Grunwald?
No, Grunwald.
What's the difference?
Two dots, I think.
Right, Grunwald. Grunwald. Ah. That would explain the pastoral acres of green and corn as high as an elfin's eye. Returning to your questions, yes, this is my house, and if I'd stolen it, I probably wouldn't fess up to you. And finally, I didn't park here. I quite obviously crashed here. Who are those people?
Now would be a good time to pause and reflect in further detail upon Mallory's frame of mind. Many things of a dangerously interesting nature had happened to Mallory in the last 2 minutes. Ordinary people would be very unsettled by this. For someone who lived a sheltered life for nearly 2 decades, it was enough to throw his crossbeam askew on the treadle, and then some. He had heard of transients, of course. That's how he knew what the house truly was. A mobile home that doesn't take root anywhere, but moves from reality to reality like a tractor. The only vehicle he had handy to make the analogy with tractors. If his brain was operating at full speed, he'd recall ground cars and other sorts of ships from his daily video stream viewing of other realities. Transients were uncommon in Grunewald, which rarely interacted with other realities beyond basic trade of goods. But he had seen trade buildings come and go from the docks before. This is also why he knew to ask,
"Why didn't you park at the dock?"
Since typically houses, cargo huts, small businesses, and other mobile buildings would land at the specifically zoned dock area on the other side of the village. This house had not parked at the dock. It had parked on top of him. He was able to register this fact quickly. So you have to give him some credit. Despite all that had gone completely wrong in the situation, his brain zeroed in on relevant details. Unfortunately for him, the information would prove to be completely useless at that time. And also, unfortunately, his distraction caused him to lose track of who was approaching.
Dunno.
You are trespassing! You did not contact us ahead of time to consult on your arrival in Grunewald, and your presence is illegal! You could be bringing in foreign diseases and contaminating our crops, or worse! We demand you leave immediately, woman!
This is the council. Some of them at any rate. Hi, Dad.
I'd love to leave, but I have a problem. I didn't land here on purpose. My reality engine for mobiles crashed while I was trying to get to another reality. We're all very lucky safety mode kicked in and I didn't phase into existence through something else or suffer structural damage on landing. A close call. But everything's fine, yes?
But it nearly crushed me.
So if you could just let me borrow your resident reality engineer, or could give me the address to one that's local to Grunewald, I'll get repaired and be on my way.
We haven't got a reality engineer. What do you think this is? A banner? Where you can just snap your fingers and get anything you want? We're a farming and cooking community, and your presence is disrupting the harmony of the...
Then it's going to have to keep disrupting until I could call an engineer from RealWare. That's the way it is. I'll warn, they've been known to take days to service Class C contracts like mine. But I assure you I have proper passport data and I'm not carrying anything that'll cause trouble here.
We can have you deported! We may be backwards to you city folk, but we've got a deporter and can kick your ugly house out of here in an instant, in a few minutes or so.
Ugly house? Now listen up, Farmer John.
I can fix it. I think I can. Reality engines for realities, and reality engines for mobiles are based on the same, stuff. Technology! The same technology! And Dad, you know I can fix reality engines. I could get her up and running and nobody would have to do anything, okay? It'll be fine.
What? Allow you to enter that monstrosity? I won't allow it! Outsiders are not to be trusted. She could kidnap you, or worse things I can't even think of at the moment. If
he can fix it, then the problem will be solved. I'm in favor of it.
Your voice isn't as great on our council as you think, Joseph. If you seriously think that...
I have no problems with my boy entering the house. Let's clear this up and get back to work. You're not in favor of a delay of work, yes?
Terrific! Okay, I'll be done in a minute. Let's go, miss.
What?
With that, Mallory stepped into another world. Or at least a piece of a world he had never seen in person before, which had been dumped on his front lawn. Which was just as exciting to him.